Nate Anda of Red Apron Butchery came in with a whole plate of delicious meats. You know him for his charcuterie and all his delicious stuff. And he has some terrific gift ideas that smell lovely. And we're going to find out all about that.
And when you say Nate's name everywhere, pigs run in circles, don't they? Yeah. All right. So if you're thinking of Italy for the holidays, don't bother going there. Unless you really want to.
I really want
because
to.
Because most of Italy...
I mean, I really, really, really want
know.
To.
I know. Andiamo in Italia.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, but a good deal of Italy can be found right here in D.C. at Via Umbria. It's a local gateway store for great gift items and foods and everything from what is called Italy's Cuore Verde, the heart, the green heart of Italy. And owners Bill and Susie Menard are in to talk about all the artisan ceramics and linens and wines and olive oils. Olive oils. I said it wrong.
Okay.
I said it like your Jersey family.
Moving on.
Wait.
Okay,
in their
go ahead.
Store on Wisconsin Avenue.
Excellent. Okay, and we're going to find out all about the beautiful things they brought in. And if you've been listening to the show long enough, you know that David and I are crazy dog people. We love our dogs.
It's rough being a dog person.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Already. So what we thought would be really interesting is that given that this is our gift-giving guide show, is to have something for the pooches. And at Old Town Pet Resort, they have the most fascinating gifts for your dog or your dog lover. And Dixie Yang is on with us, and she brought in some great stuff. We're going to learn about dog facials. I cannot wait to hear all about this. Could be very interesting.
Yeah, and our dogs have zits, so that's really important. All right, so champagne and other sparkling wines are pretty much synonymous with holiday celebrating, and sommelier Jose Alex Rodriguez, we call him Alex, is a fine wine specialist with Southern Wine and Spirits here in D.C. He was a sommelier and manager in Miami at Il Gabbiano, which was voted the city's best Italian restaurant by Zagat's. And so this is a dude that knows his wines, and he's in with tastes and talk of the bubbly, and that'll make us bubbly, I guess, for the holidays. Alex, step two.
Yeah,
you're
coming
on
right
now.
We kick off the show. You're our party maker.
How are you?
Start right from the start, bud. What makes sparkling wine sparkle? How does that happen?
Well, it's basically all the sparkling wine starts at still wine. It's a second fermentation that happens either in the bottles or in a big tank. And produces those bubbles that everybody loves, the CO2 that gets trapped. So it starts as a still wine, and of course we have different styles.
And different blends.
Yeah, absolutely. Different grapes that are used to produce sparkling wine as well.
But so champagne is from the Champagne region of France, but are there different blends?
Yeah, absolutely. Primarily champagne is made from Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
There are different areas on the Champagne region that specialize in growing different grapes. So there are actually a couple more international grapes that are added or can be added to the blend. But nowadays, most champagne is produced from those three.
Okay. And so let's talk. You brought in a beautiful array of sparklers today. Why don't you tell us about the first one you're going to pour?
Yeah. I mean, I feel that we can start with Prosecco.
Okay.
Prosecco is one that people seem to love from the northeast of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecco is made on the tank method or transfer method. And the idea is that after you have the still wine, you transfer it to biggest stainless steel tank and you induce the CO2 or the sparklers. And then you rebottle at the end and cover it with the cork.
No.
Prosecco being made from Glera.
Glera,
which is the grape. I'm sorry for my accent.
We like your accent.
You know,
are you kidding?
I was just thinking, to be 30, handsome, have that accent must be quite an advantage in Washington. You rat. All right, so what are we going to taste first?
So we're going to start with the Prosecco. Prosecco, it's a different option that people have. I feel that most people love Prosecco because it's a light, more affordable alternative to what champagne is. So if you have a large crowd or if you're making mimosas for everybody, like we will be soon this morning, it's a great alternative to produce. And Prosecco,
you're liking better already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's light, it's fresh, it's crisp. And the Glera grape, it's traditionally very aromatic. So it's something that adds a little charm to the wine as well.
All right.
Fantastic.
Well,
while you're pouring for everybody, we are going to
let's
move
talk
on.
To Meredith. Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
Hello. Thanks
Rare
for having
Treats
me.
Bake Shop in fabulous city center.
Almost.
Look at you. What a home run coming. So let's start from the start. You were at I can't remember, Tisch and at Columbia.
I went to NYU for my undergrad, and I studied dramatic literature, and then I got my MFA at Columbia.
Dramatic literature.
We have two who went that route, too.
Okay, yeah.
But they're not opening up bakeries.
No. They'll be opening up restaurants. And then you were you a working actress and a playwright?
I was a playwright, and I was doing casting for some other playwrights and directors and stuff like that on the side, and I was baking at the same time.
Baking for yourself,
baking
for others.
Myself, and baking for productions that I was a part of.
Okay.
So, you know, I grew up in a family where my parents always said, do what you love, and those were the two things that I loved. And at some point,
I'm not waiting. I got to have a piece of
this. Yeah, get
what
in there.
It? What is he breaking into?
I don't know.
Those are some sugar cookies. They're with some
gorgeous
turbinado sugar on top.
Everybody come
feel
and have
free,
some.
Guys.
Sugar.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, God, and here comes the Prosecco.
Oh, Prosecco and cookies?
You
thank you.
Okay.
Get your own radio show. All right, so, what happened with the switch?
You know, it's kind of, it's an interesting story. It's a long story, but the short version of it is I had some personal matters that kind of made me change my mind, a quarter-life crisis, shall we say.
Okay.
And I decided, you know, I've always loved doing this. Mm-hmm. Why not really go for it? And so I was working during the day, and I went to pastry school at night and switched careers. And I knew at the end I wanted to get to this point where I was going to be opening a bakery. And
so what did you want to bring to a bakery? I mean, I think so many people see bakeries in different, like, you know, there's bakeries that focus more on bread, bakeries that focus more on cakes. I mean,
right.
What do you want your bakery
so
to be?
So our bakery is really focused on bringing back or reinterpreting heirloom American baked goods.
Okay.
So I have a huge collection of old cookbooks that I've kind of gone through and taken some recipes and played with them. And I also have family recipes that we'll be bringing to the bakery as well. But the main focus of our bakery is layer cakes and ice creams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why ice creams?
Because I love it.
Okay.
Plus, I think it's kind of...
Every now and then, we don't ask a brilliant question.
No.
I think cake and ice cream together are a wonderful thing. And I think a lot of people have really fond memories of their fifth birthday party eating cake and ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's no shame in eating those two things together as an adult either.
So as you went about putting this new bakery together, talk about what it's going to, you know, you're at the gorgeous new city center.
Yes.
It's splashy and very pretty.
How
do you put yourself in there? Like, what does it look like?
So, yeah, our space is, we kind of took the idea of what's old is new. So when you walk into our space, it does feel very like cool and sleek and modern, but there's a lot of like old world touches as well. We have like some patterning from old cookbooks that we brought into the design, and there's different textures and things like that.
Who'd you work for the design?
Core.
You did work with Core.
Yeah.
They do great stuff.
They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you say like heirloom recipes and baked goods, I mean, clearly you have these gorgeous sugar cookies, but how are you up? What does updating mean? Does it mean organic or working with certain vendors? Like, how do you explain that?
So it's actually more, it has more to do with the recipes. So a lot of these, when I say old, I don't mean 1950s. I mean like 1850s.
Okay.
So palettes.
I remember them.
Palettes back then and cooking methods were very different.
Mm-hmm.
And the ingredients that you could use were minimal, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I kind of went about reinterpreting these recipes is like trying to make them in their original form and then saying, okay, this obviously
like
needs
what? Like give
salt.
Me an example.
You know, we have our red velvet cake has beets in it. And not you when you think of red velvet cake today, it's normally just food coloring and cocoa powder and people don't really know what it's actually supposed to taste like. It's just red cake with cream cheese icing. And our recipe is based from a recipe when there was a sugar shortage and they used beets for sweetening
things.
Right,
like beet sugar. Right.
Yeah. So so we've kind of upped the beet quotient, shall we say, in our recipe. And we use some boiled beets and baked beets or roasted beets in ours. So the chocolate flavor in our red velvet cake kind of comes out a little bit more because of the earthy tones of the beets.
Neat.
So what about ice cream? I don't even know when people started making ice cream.
I can't tell you that either. I should be able to, and I'm going to say
back in the caves of southern France.
Ice cream's been around for a long time.
So how do they make it the old way, and how do you make it?
You know, hand churn. Think about it that way. That's not what we're doing.
Man,
we have a fancy.
Girl, that
we have
sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, no, we have a fancy schmancy machine, but our recipes are old in that they're essentially custard based. We don't have any fillers or artificial ingredients in ours. So you get this interesting or kind of old world texture where today I think a lot of ice creams kind of are fluffy and airy and ours is really kind of thick and good.
Well, plus I think people have stepped away a little bit from ice cream with all the, you know, excellent gelato and other options out there. So So I think
this
you have
is
to
ice cream,
which
this
is a much denser, harder product.
Exactly. And we're kind of adding, I think the idea of ice cream has also kind of, today, people put a lot of stuff in it, and our flavors don't really have a lot of things. It's we're infusing flavors into the actual cream. We're not like throwing brownie bits and all this other stuff.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how are you dealing with the gluten-free crowd?
We will be offering gluten-free products. Mm-hmm. We are not a gluten-free bakery.
Right.
But we want to make sure, you know, everyone is able to come in and have something.
Well, actually, that's a really good question, because with so many dietary restrictions today, well, every now and again they happen. With all the dietary restrictions today, you got gluten-free and you got lactose intolerant.
Peanuts.
How can you accommodate everyone, or do you just say, oh, we're so sorry, we can't do
that? We can't accommodate everyone, but I want to make sure people... We try and offer an array of things that certain people can have. So we're not going to have vegan products. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not something we can do.
Right.
We're not going to be a nut-free facility because I love using nuts and baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we will have some gluten-free options for breakfast and then for cake options as well.
Well, that brings up a good point. So when you say breakfast, are we just talking muffins and croissants, or are we doing sandwiches?
We are an American bakery, so we will not be offering croissants.
Okay.
But we will be doing some coffee cakes, breakfast bundt cakes, and baked donuts. Mm-hmm. And we'll also be making our own English muffins.
Oh, fabulous.
Now, the donuts baked ahead of time, or you're making them?
Well, they'll be baked every morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was thinking of, like, there are some places that make donuts on order.
But she's baking them. She's not frying them.
I don't know. Well, I'm asking.
They really don't take that long to bake because if you get the oven really, really hot, you don't want them in there too long.
Okay.
All right. So let's make sure everybody knows where you are.
And when you're opening.
Sure. So we will be opening on December 15th at City Center.
Tomorrow.
You can come say hi tomorrow.
Okay.
Our location is 963 Palmer Alley Northwest. So we're on that walking street in City Center.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your stuff is delicious.
Thanks so much.
In. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. It is our annual gift giving guide. We'll be back in just a sec.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. At 7 I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and this is our annual gift-giving show,
mm-hmm.
and if you want gifts that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise,
really
you
unique
listen
gifts.
In. So let's go back to Alex Rodriguez for a second. Alex, a lot of nations have what they consider to be their own champagnes, like, you know, Cremant, Prosecco, Cava. Are there substantive differences, or is it really just back to which grape they're using, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, each champagne or each sparkling wine is produced from different grapes depending on which country it's coming from. So in Spain, in the case of Cava, which I'm opening right now, we talk about the Catalunya area, and we talk about Xarel·lo, Peralada, and Macabeo. Which
that's
are
easy
the,
for you to say.
Exactly.
We were talking about that just this morning on the way in.
But Cava traditionally goes through a same second fermentation in the bottle. In France, if the wine is not produced in Champagne, it's called Cremant. So we have Cremant de Loire, Cremant d'Alsace, Cremant de Limoux, which is where a lot of documents show that sparkling wine was produced for the first time. So today we have a little Cava from the Codorniu family, which is Raventos. They were the first people that produced Cava in Spain.
Great.
And so we have a little bit of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir that is now allowed by the Cava law to be added into the blend because of its structure and acidity.
Well, excellent.
The real question is, because, you know, Champagne, when it, the person in the street, they're probably going to say, oh, Champagne's more expensive than these other things. Is that basically marketing? Because we love Cava. I mean, we.
I think it's Champagne will always be more expensive than most of sparkling wines around the world. One of the things that distinguish Champagne from all the other sparkling wines is that the AOC regulation law is very strict. So all the fruit needs to be handpicked. The wine needs to be aged for longer. And we're talking about the 49 parallel up in the north of France, which makes it really difficult to ripen up grapes. So the level of difficulty to produce Champagne is way higher than producing Champagne from the south or Cava or any other regions.
Okay, that answers it. All right,
well,
pour
go
that
ahead
Cava.
And pour that and we will.
We're going to talk to Chef Nathan Anda, who is described as an old family friend, and yeah, he's known all over the city. But you're really now known more about meats and charcuterie and all that. But you were chefing before that, full service, right?
Pretty much. That's pretty much how this whole operation came about.
Well, let's talk about your storied
passion.
Your storied and checkered background.
Cool. Well, I was a chef at Tallulah in Arlington, Virginia. And back when we started kind of playing around with local animals and everything, if you wanted to get anything local, you had to get...
That doesn't sound right.
There's something a little off about that, but go ahead.
I didn't really play with
I mean, we're pet lovers here. That's it.
But you had to buy the whole animal. So, you know, for every, you know, cow, there's only 2 New York strips, 2 ribeyes, and 2 beef tenderloins. So you have to kind of figure out what you want to do with that other 1,000 pounds.
Before that, what were people doing? Chucking it? I mean, literally, or
grinding it? You know, buying
food?
It from, you know, big processors in vacuum bags, and kind of having no idea where that meat came from. This was in 2004 2005, so back then the delivery systems weren't as good either. You know, they'd farmers show up with a pickup truck and a cow in the back of it, and you and your dishwashers had to unload it and break it down.
Right.
It makes me so hungry just to hear the whole description.
But you are taking whole animals.
Everything we do is whole animal.
Right.
So what is charcuterie, aside from being a French word?
I mean, it's pretty much an act of preservation. You know, it's utilizing everything and making it into, you know, I guess... cured meats, pâtés, terrines.
Don't guess. You're the one making it.
But I think people are, you know, people think of charcuterie, they just think of like one or two different kinds. I mean, you brought in such a wide array today.
Here, let me help you get the top off.
Can we talk about the differences? I mean, is it about the curing process or is
it
about the cut?
Tell
us about it.
Meat to fat ratios, cuts, seasonings, everything. So, you know, everybody, I sold it after I left Tallulah, I sold at farmers markets for about 5 years.
I remember.
And the number one question was, do you have prosciutto? The number two question is, do you have pepperoni? So everyone's idea of what I did was based off of those two products. So everything I wanted to do with Red Apron was to kind of branch out and, you know, teach everybody the other items. So,
well, you mentioned Red Apron. Let's talk about what that is.
So Red Apron is a whole animal butchery. So we offer, I don't even know the amount of products that we make anymore, but... every day we're working with whole cows, pigs, lambs, local poultry, you name it, we got it. And like I said, it starts from the whole animal and everything gets worked down. So in the butcher's case, you have, you know, like I said, the New York strips and the tenderloins, racks of pork, but you also have all the secondary cuts that you wouldn't see at every other
Which more chefs are now...
Definitely.
I mean, I think you're seeing more chefs nationally as a trend using these
cuts. That's the fun part about food right now is how many chefs really want to have their hands involved with everything. So,
but that also trickles down to the layperson, because if they go to a restaurant and they have like a cut of meat, like Terrace Major. I mean, David doesn't like that cut, but he doesn't like it.
Well, that's a great example because with us, it's like we always wanted, you know, you go out to a nice dinner and you have a piece of meat that you wouldn't normally see. We want to be able to offer that.
Right,
exactly. We want someone to be able to get something from a restaurant and bring it home.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask, particularly about charcuterie. You know, if people were, you know, do you have prosciutto, do you have pepperoni, and get past salami, and how do you sort of get the, and I would describe myself as one, kind of the meatball consumer to understand that, you know, that this other thing that comes from a part of the cow they're not used to eating is awesome and give it a try.
They just taste it? I mean,
Jedi mind tricks, you know.
Well, talk about what you have on this plate here today, because there's so much here.
So I have a big variety here. So from all over the world, I guess. So we start up top, sopressata. Sopressata is probably the most, outside of pepperoni, one of the most bastardized words of charcuterie, because... As you'll learn from the Italian experts, sopressata has, what, 17 different meanings in Italy, you know? And it really changes from region to region. So we built ours kind of to be the most flavor-forward. It has red pepper flake, fennel pollen, and then some baking spices, so it's pretty round. As we go down, we have salami de Provence, which is a French salami that has a lot of fresh herbs. It's cold smoked, and it's got nutmeg and clove in it. Underneath is porchetta that we, instead of just rubbing with spices and rolling up and cooking, we actually cured it for about a month under salt. And then, so it's kind of the way we would cure a prosciutto. Rinsed it, rubbed it with the spices, and then we cold smoked it and then aged it for...
Well, it's, like everything here is pig, right?
Every single thing here is pig.
So... What about cow? And what about lamb? Does any of that?
Well, I mean, cows, we make brassola, of course. We have bologna. Mm-hmm. We have summer sausage. A lot of, for me, beef takes better to smoke than anything. So it's more of a ground and then processed into a salami. And then
same with lamb.
Okay, but let's get to holiday gifts now. Okay. Because you're doing the 12 Days of Bacon.
Definitely.
And we have to talk about these candles.
Yeah.
First, talk about these gorgeous candles that you brought in today.
So I was, I mean, going back to being a whole animal operation, I have an abundance of fat, you know. So,
you know, that's my problem.
Can somebody tweet that out?
I know, it's the story of my life. You take my,
Just put a wick in my hips and light it.
Yeah. So we're getting like 3 to 4 cows a week and 14 to 16 pigs. So. With every animal, you know, we try to utilize everything, so we render all the fats down. So I was just researching one day if I could make a candle out of animal fat. So actually the nickname for them is mandels.
Really?
So, yeah.
Very cool.
But
so these are available at all Red Aprons?
Right now they are, yeah.
Okay.
This is the first they've ever been seen. It's for you guys.
Thank you so much. I feel
packaging
so special. I know.
So we, so the first time I made them, It really did come across as really meaty and very protein forward. So we started playing with different seasonings to. So now it smells like really good roast pork.
Well, this one has
exactly.
orange and fennel,
yep.
and
rosemary, and lemon.
Yep.
And what are the 12 days of bacon?
So back when I was at Eat Bar, we used to have bacon of the week.
I remember.
So we would cure different flavors. So we kind of, once we opened the Red Aprons, it was kind of hard to keep up with all the different flavors all the time. So we went back to just doing our house bacon. So this was a good opportunity for us to kind of bring everything back.
Right.
So we have one that's rubbed with Valrhona bittersweet chocolate. We have old bacon. So it's bacon rubbed with Old Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon, atomic bacon, which is laced with Calabrian chili powder, Calabrian chili flakes.
You've got chocolate, too.
Chocolate, cinnamon.
Crazy, man.
Oh, man, I'm having a hard time.
Well, ginger, I'm looking at them.
Ginger.
I got the list.
Yeah.
So I can cheat.
Make right, it well, easy for me. Come on.
I mean, what else? Give us one last thing, because I know you're doing a lot for the holidays. What are some of the, like, gift basket ideas and things like
that?
So
we're doing a brunch basket So it comes with a gift certificate to get, you know, anything that you want for breakfast, whether it's sausage or bacons. And then it has tagelis, which are our house breads.
Mm-hmm.
And then maple syrup, Gordy's pickle jar does mm-hmm. a Bloody Mary mix that's in there as well.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Then, well, let me ask you, because people are going to want to, let's say where the brick and mortar Red Aprons are and how to find this online. Because
yep, so you can go to redapronbutchery.com and you can go to our shopping section. And then we have a store at the Mosaic District in Maryfield, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then one at Union Market in Northeast D.C. And then Penn Quarter at 709 D Street Northwest.
Nice. Look at that. All right. Thanks, well, congrats. This is beautiful
cool.
and delicious.
Thank you.
All right, Bill and Susie, step up to the mic. We're going to take a commercial break in about a minute and a half, but we want to start talking, as long as we're talking about prosciutto and pancetta and all these other things, let's talk some more about Italy. Bill and Susie Menard fell in love with Italy. We're going to hear that story. And ended up opening up a store here in D.C. called Via Umbria, which brings the flavors and the feeling of Italy right here, so you don't have to go there, although I would prefer to go there. How did it all happen? When did you guys become Italophiles?
Well, it happened when I was in law school. We took a semester, my first year summer abroad. We studied in Florence, rented an apartment for 3 months. We had a one-year-old son at that point. I would go up to Fiesole every morning on the bus, sometimes with my son, but most of the times not. And Susie spent the day in the neighborhood.
Which neighborhood were you living in?
We were across the Arno in
San Frediano.
It was the Ponte alla Grazia, yeah. Down that area. It was Via San Nicolo.
I'm just showing off that I know.
Absolutely.
No, but it was great.
I don't really care where you lived. I just wanted to be able to say San Frediano.
He just wants to tell you where he lived. He doesn't really care where you lived.
No, but like Susie said, I would go up and study, and when I'd get back home, Susie would have done the shopping, and she was because we had a one-year-old blonde son, we were kind of celebrities in the neighborhood. And, you know, we had 3 months there, so we really got to dig in, and it got into our blood, and we've never really turned back.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how that early start in Italy created this beautiful store in Georgetown. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. It is our annual gift-giving guide. We'll be back in just a sec.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com.
Right?
That's GovEvents.com.
You're so annoying.
Yeah, it's the butthole.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
No, we can say butthole.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
There are only seven words we can't say.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2minutes2x.org. 2 minutes,
here, you
twice
know what,
a day.
Why don't we
save the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership
Andrew?
For Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
There you go, buddy.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn.
What do we have
there are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. It's our annual gift-giving guide, and these are not your run-of-the-mill stocking stuffers or anything else that we're talking about. No candy canes on this show. We're talking to Bill and Susie Menard, who own a store in Georgetown, 15-something. What's the address?
1525 Wisconsin Avenue.
There you are, kids.
So tell us how you...
Wait, Via Umbria. Now, okay. Fire away.
So how did you take your experience and bring it to a store? I mean, what led you that way?
We were doing, we met a chef over in Italy, and he'd asked us if he could ship over stuff over to the States for his clients, and we would warehouse it and ship it out to them when they placed orders.
Okay.
So we started off, and it was a small sort of simple thing. It was sort of a good idea that went bad. So it became...
Like, you sending drugs? Or?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't enough to be full-time, but it was too much that you couldn't take a day away. You couldn't go away for a week. We had to sort of cover it. So at that point, we decided we either had to, like, go big or cut it out. So, mm-hmm. of course, we decided to go all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now that you have this store, what kind of wares are you showcasing there? Is it from all over Italy? I mean, it is from Umbria, but do you bring in any other products?
Yeah, definitely.
It's all imported from Italy, but it has an emphasis on Umbria, which is where our sort of where we have most of our friends and where most of our suppliers are based.
Okay, and what is classic Umbrian products?
Well, ceramics. I mean, on the non-food side, things like ceramics and linens, traditional things. And so you'll find a lot of the towns, not just in Umbria, but all over Italy, are sort of one. A lot of them are one-horse towns that are historic. Mm-hmm. So there's, for instance, near us in Le Marche, the next region over, is a town called Fabriano, which is famous with artists even today because of the Fabriano paper. But it's a town that from the early 1200s or so was a manufacturing town for paper, and they it became sort of associated with that. So there are a lot of towns in the center of Italy that in Umbria, for instance, Deruta is a town that's famous for its ceramics. And in our store, we carry Deruta hand-painted ceramics. In fact, what you see in front of you, the serving plates here, are hand-painted Deruta ceramics. So ceramics, linens, things like that are sort of traditional housewares.
Is there something classic about the linens as far as their look or style? You know, have some regions, like in Tuscany, there's that classic pattern pottery. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing with Umbria for their linens?
Absolutely. Maybe you can.
So the linens are made in the Jacquard style. So they're made on looms where the sort of computer punch card style tell the needles what to do. And all the patterns that are woven in have a story behind them. So they'll have, the griffin, which is the symbol of Perugia, or they'll have like a lady carrying water or some wheat from the garden. Mm-hmm. So in every piece, you may just see it as a linen, but when you look at the actual design in it, there's a story that goes with
story.
It.
But you have ceramics and foodstuffs and olive oil and wine.
We just got our wine license on Friday.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
We're pretty darn happy.
Because I just heard a cash register ringing. Had an Italian accent. And you also do tours. You have an 8-bedroom villa there.
Indeed.
So I hate you even more. And
there's a lot of hate going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not above envy.
Did I tell you what an awesome interviewer you were?
but talk about that, because you do tours as well, right?
We do. And in fact, as Susie was saying, our business sort of evolved from a hobby. She calls it a hobby gone bad. I think it actually went well. But it went from a small online business to doing trunk shows to then a brick and mortar store. We were in Bethesda for 10 years. We were called Bella Italia at that point.
Okay.
And 7-8 years ago, we sort of lived out. One of our original dreams was not just to bring products over to the U.S., Italian products and lifestyle, sort of iconic things, but to bring people over to Italy to meet the producers, the artists and whatnot. And so we purchased a farmhouse in Umbria. Near Assisi. It's an 8-bedroom farmhouse. And throughout the year, we rent it by the week. We have two wonderful staff people that sort of take care of our guests and either leave them alone or provide whatever support that they want. And then throughout the year, Susie and I organize food and wine tours. So in October, we go for a month and we do 4-week-long tours where we bring people, take them truffle hunting. We'll go, do cooking classes, see the olive harvest, that sort of thing.
But here locally, so since that does sound like a great gift, I mean, that sounds great to me.
The wheels are turning. Is it already rented for the summer?
No.
But let's talk about here locally, because you're doing are you doing cooking classes? You're doing demos and tastings?
We did a wine tasting last night at Iriki Restaurant with one of our wine producers. So every month, basically, we have somebody who's coming into town to visit with us, and we find a locale to sort of promote them. So in January, our friend Simone, who's a chef at a restaurant in Bologna, is coming over, and he'll travel around the States with us and do dinners in people's homes.
Including Washington.
Including
a long
Washington.
Stay in Washington.
Very cool.
So that'll be fun.
That sounds like a terrific gift for somebody to give.
It's a great gift to give a Simone dinner.
Absolutely. He'll come to your house, cook with you. You can work the menu with him, go shopping with him. You can do a cooking class with him with your guests, or just sit down and have dinner.
And what's this event on Tuesday the 16th with Lou DiPaolo?
Okay. Well, if you know Little Italy in New York, there's an iconic, at least 100-year-old Italian store called DiPaolo's Foods. Lou is the owner. His family's owned it for several generations. And Lou just recently published a book called The Essential Foods of Italy, DiPaolo's Essential Foods of Italy. And we called him up and asked him if he might want to come down and do a food tasting, a guided food tasting, a reception, a book signing. We also do...
So that's going to be on December 16th from 5:30 to 7.
Right.
Okay, great.
But we do a monthly Italian book club at the store as well. And we had chosen to do Lou's book with our book club, and this one, because it's a cookbook as well, we our guests are bringing sort of a potluck. So you'll be there to sort of evaluate how well they did.
These people are living my life.
Before we wrap you guys up, do you have any sort of gift baskets, or how are you helping people prepare for the holidays?
So all of our food items, when you come in, are sort of ready to go. They're top quality, they're simple to use, and they can add sort of a great addition to any food. So we've got olive oils from this year's harvest. We've got... aged vinegars, and we've got great holiday cakes and candies, and we can make gift baskets, and now we can make gift baskets with bottles of wine. So sauces, everything.
And is your wine selection primarily Umbrian? Or?
At this point, it's exclusively Umbrian.
It is.
Yeah, and it's from small wineries that are located within, say, 30 minutes of our villa, from wineries that don't really import into the States in any meaningful way. Oh. So. It's the stuff that we've imported ourselves.
You know, you have one child with blonde hair. Would you like to adopt a bald guy?
We have four children with blonde hair.
Oh, well, you need a baldy. Street address and web address again. Let's just make sure that people know where Via Umbria is.
Via Umbria. We're at 1525 Wisconsin Avenue, just up at the corner of Volta in Wisconsin in Georgetown. And our web address is, surprisingly, viaumbria.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for bringing in.
UMBRIA for those of you.
That's right.
Thanks for bringing in all these delicious treats.
All right, Dixie, step up to the mic. So, the Old Town Pet Resort, how would I describe it? I would describe it as the Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton for pets. Is that...
Very posh, yes.
Very posh.
The Ritz-Carlton for dogs and cats.
I think you have to start with her background. Well, she's in hospitality.
All right, so you were a hotelier for human beings, for two-legged beasts, right?
I was for over 25 years in Washington, D.C. And when I heard about the business plan at Old Town Pet Resort, I was very excited about it, and I wanted to join the team. So here I am today.
All right, so tell us about the plan there. What is...
And just be careful, because we are crazy dog people, so
we
better like this.
That's great. You're a perfect client for Old Town Pet Resort. Old Town Pet Resort clients think of their dogs as their children, extended family members, and they want only the best. So when they travel, they pick Old Town Pet Resort so their pet can have a vacation as well. And when you're not traveling, you can do other services, such as spa or grooming treatments. You can do swimming. You can do cardio, agility, training, or day camp.
Do they swim nude, or do they have to wear...
Well, some dogs wear vests, but not all need.
Okay, just checking.
So talk about this concept. I mean, it's so much more than people just leaving their dogs when they go on vacation. Like, give us a typical day of somebody who leaves their dog there.
Well, all dogs have a minimum 3 walks, and walks are done with a person and a dog. So it's leash to pet. And it's all focused one-on-one services.
Good luck with Lucy Nellis.
But okay.
Go ahead.
We can do it. We have lots of challenges, and we have been known to take the most difficult situations and make them just perfectly normal every day at the Old Town Pet Resort.
And so let's go into it. So if I'm going on vacation, I give you my dog. She gets walked 3 times a day. What are some of the services that you guys would offer?
We do playtimes, which is one-on-one with a handler, or we can do TLCs, which is just cuddle sessions and lots of hugs and human attention, or we can do day camp. That's play with other dogs.
Are there activities like archery and...
No archery. That's too dangerous for dogs.
Fun.
However, we
arts
do have
crafts,
a pool. We do crafts sometimes in day
arts
camp.
Arts and crafts, you know.
We do arts and crafts for dogs in day camp. It's just like a daycare facility. But the special things are like the swimming.
Right.
It's done for therapy as well as for just for exercise. Mm-hmm. And we do cardios, agility.
So when you say cardio for the dogs, other than walking, are there...
They're jogging. They're doing runs and jogs with a handler. Everything is with someone.
Okay.
So in swimming, you also have a swimmer that coaches along.
What about AP leg lifting? Is that part of the...
Stop. We have Fit Fido
right.
and Fit Dog Camp. Yes,
and,
we do.
Let's talk about the spa. So this is really the ultimate treat for your pooch. What does the spa treatments include?
We have lots of spa treatments. Let's start with the grooming ones. Traditionally, a spa bath, which is a lovely two shampoos, deep conditioning, nails and ears and blow dry, and a full brush out. We also have
so
grooming.
What, it's a
petty,
like
the haircut. Oh,
right.
Paw cures. Yes,
yes.
Paw cures.
Paw cures. You all laugh, but these are real things.
I'm making a joke, but you should see what our dogs get.
Right.
You know, they got 12 feet to deal with there.
And we've recently introduced a blueberry facial, which is for the lighter hair dogs that have tears or a little staining
dark.
On their beard.
Uh-huh.
It brightens them up and makes them more white.
And how do they handle that? Because not all dogs will just sit there while they're being supposedly pampered.
Well, most dogs, if you start them young in the spa treatments, they're fully capable of enjoying.
Enjoying the
and
treatment.
They do.
It's the start them young part that we screwed
right,
up.
Right, we missed on that part. So tell me what's in the blueberry facial.
They have organic chemicals that basically help to break down the staining.
Okay.
And so it washes that away.
I can just sort of see the dog like trying to lick it.
Yeah, with two cucumbers.
No cucumbers.
No.
And then we also do mud bath treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh
in
my
addition,
God, they'd love that.
In addition to the shampoo, you would do a mud bath treatment. And a mud bath treatment can be done to help shed the coat or to be soothing or to be energizing. Different mud baths
just
for
like
different.
It's like a mini
exactly.
spa. For,
right.
Exactly.
For, this is great.
We also do massage. Canine massage.
So. And what is the, I mean, we rub our dogs every day, so I they love it. But what is the theory behind massaging a dog?
Well, just like people, they do deep tissue massage and
our dogs
moving
love
the muscles
that. Seriously.
Around.
I mean, they love
it. We do
that.
It all.
That
so,
is very cool.
So.
All right, we have to take a break.
Oh, but I had such a pithy question, but I'll hold
is
it.
Is it a good question or is it a silly question?
No, I had a real
I
question.
Can't wait.
Silly? Okay. Ask it quickly.
Well, I mean, what about extended stay? That's another sort of question because, and it's a gift item too. If you know somebody's going out of town, and a lot of dogs get passed from babysitter to babysitter while people are away. And I mean, is there sort of an extended stay package that can be given?
We have dogs stay anywhere as short as a day for day board or as long as a couple of months with one of our clients was deployed and had their pet in our care. So we modify the services and the stay based on what the needs for that pet, based on their age or their breed or what they will need. That's and
great.
We modify it every day for them.
That's fantastic. All right, we're going to take a break because you came in with all these fabulous treats for dogs and we want to hear about what some of them are. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. It is our annual gift giving guide and we've got lots of goodies. We'll be back in just a sec.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
It's the end of the year, and federal employees are thinking about where to contribute for this year's combined federal campaign. This year, consider donating to the Capital Area Food Bank, a local charity that distributes 42 million pounds of food each year to the greater Washington, D.C. community through its network of 500 food assistance partners and its direct food distribution programs. Help the Capital Area Food Bank empower the community to take action to solve hunger. Visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org. That's CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Hi, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking with Dixie Yang from the Old Town Pet Resort. Before we get back into it, I just want to quickly thank the folks and the companies that support the show, our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, simply the best bagels in town, all the restaurants at Neighborhood Restaurant Group and our friends over there, the Gaylord Hotel, the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, the Mandarin Oriental Washington, the American Land Board, the Virginia Wine Board. Thanks for supporting the show. If you're not an advertiser, don't feel sad. You can be. So let's get back to Dixie. Let's talk about gifts.
Right. Everybody loves to get their pets gifts for the holidays. Or you have a friend or a coworker who, you know, is dog crazy too. What are some of the great products that are out there right now for dogs?
Well, there is an array.
And you're surrounded.
I am surrounded with gifts right now. We can give anything very outlandish, like a Michael Aram rock bowl for
Oh my gosh, look at that.
Isn't it wonderful?
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's quite out there, right? And then you can give something as simple as something that's very utilitarian, like a collar or a leash that's made out of paracord, which is the most durable fabric or durable substance.
Actually, we're in the market for new leashes.
Well, these are wonderful. Cool. These are wonderful.
But these are collars. These are beautiful.
These are collars. That's what I meant.
We have leashes with them.
Right.
Or you could do something as simple as a traditional stuffed toy. We have this kosher cow.
Don't you think this should be a pig? It should be a kosher pig.
Yeah, it should. But it's a kosher cow.
It's a kosher cow.
And a little dragon with a little squeak toy. But as you said, Lucy would probably do that
Lucy
in one bite.
Lucy would swallow this in one bite. She would call this sushi.
We could also do stocking stuffers, something as simple as aromatherapy shampoos or pet candles that have specific, really strong, wonderful fragrances for the holidays. We have a Christmas kiss mousse here.
Let's talk about the raincoats and clothing wear.
Okay, we have a raincoat here that has a hood.
I mean, that's for a little dog.
That looks like something my grandma Tanya used to wear, actually.
We have them for big dogs, too, but the hood goes over and it's got a little acrylic see-through, so the dog stays completely dry.
The cutest thing you have ever seen. That is a riot. I love it.
And in addition, we have winter coats for dogs, too. Mm-hmm. I brought small ones. I should have probably brought a little model with us, but anyhow, this is a smaller coat. We have large ones, all different sizes for all different breeds.
Mm-hmm.
And not to forget cats, we have the little Frolic automatic laser light. You set it down on the table, the laser light goes, and you should...
We used to do that in college. We used to turn the lights off and use a flashlight.
With a little laser light,
see the cat flying across the room?
Right.
You're so stupid.
And this in this month, we're offering something a little bit special called Pet Sketches with Stanley Rayfield. We did this yesterday at the Old Town Pet Resort in Springfield, and we'll be doing this again on Saturday at the Dulles Resort in Sterling, Virginia, from 8 to 5, and we still have appointments available.
These are pet portraits?
They're actually sketches and oil paintings done of your pets, and you can be in the picture if you'd like, or the portrait as well. Just call our reservations line. We'll make an appointment.
Wow. So what does he do? Does he take a picture and then sketch it out?
He actually starts the portrait in the location at our resort, and then he takes a photo, and he takes it back to his studio and completes it and has it back to you within a week for the holiday giving.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So in addition to Santa pictures,
right.
You know, we went the extra.
That's a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's tell everybody where you are.
We have two locations, one in Springfield, Virginia, right off of 95 in the Newington area, and one in Dulles off of Route 28, close to the Wax Pool, exit off of 28.
When are you coming to Bethesda?
Maybe. Who knows?
Okay, oh, really?
Sure. Who knows?
Is that a little secret announcement you want to make
No. No
Foodie
inside
and the Beast
trading.
Exclusive?
No inside trading.
All right. Well, my dogs thank you, and we thank you.
And we invite you for a tour of the Old Town Pet Resort because you really can't understand what it is until you see it, and then you can really understand and enjoy what services we do provide for our pets.
We're coming out. I want to take a tour. It sounds really beautiful.
I want the blueberry facial.
You can get it. Okay, very good. All right.
So let's go back to Alex. Step up to the mic.
Alex, first, can we talk about the bags you brought in today? Because I'm obsessed with them. Talk about the little bags that are carrying the bottles of sparkling.
Yeah, they're actually different option that people like to use. So the first time I saw them was in the south of France. Mm-hmm. And I just saw these people carrying these plastic bags full of ice with a bottle of wine and then walking down to the beach. They're just
the
easier.
Perfect beach bag. They're,
you know, they don't take a lot of space. You know, all these buckets that people use sometimes, and they take a lot of space, or they're next to a table and you can knock them down and then there is a mess and all this stuff. It's just something easy. It keeps the wine cold, which is the idea. And so I thought we brought them over and have the bottles in here.
I love that.
Now, does Southern distribute those to the wine stores that you
work
with?
So we have different products. Southern is the largest distribution company in the world. So we represent millions and millions of different producers around the world. This is one from our friends at Hecht and Bannier, which are located in the Languedoc-Roussillon area in the south of France, which is where I first saw them. So yeah, we do have them available for the restaurants that need to use them, and that you obviously during the summer season use rosés or whites and needs to have them chill.
Oh, it sounds like Bill and Susie, who have a boring life. Your life's really boring. You Gaithersburg, Germantown, occasionally Poolsville.
No, we're not going to be able to get to all that you brought in today,
yeah,
but tell us about the three other bottles you brought.
Yeah, I just, I mean, obviously, I brought a nice Cremant that is produced by Gérard Bertrand, who is one of the biggest producers of the south of France right now. But Cremant de Limoux, which is the southwest of France, was first discovered in the early 1500s. So you know how everybody always think, oh, Dom Pérignon, he discovered Champagne. Actually, there is something that dates back to that, and that's in Limoux.
He had good PR, though.
Well, exactly. he has a great PR team as well. But he's credited with the Spanish cork and the use of the Spanish cork, which is that mushroom cork that we see on Champagne, as well as the blending process, which is very traditional in Champagne. But then, you know, I think the pinnacle of a sparkling wine is Champagne itself. It talks about the complexity, the aging capability of Champagne itself, the more strict regulations that are in place for Champagne. So it dates back to 350 years ago when the kingdoms were just being made in the north of France. And actually kings were drinking Champagne out of a flute to see the elegant stream of bubbles and celebrate through victories. I have a nice Paul Roger here, which is one of my favorites. Paul Roger, which was made famous by Sir Winston Churchill. He actually said, in victory, I deserve it. In defeat, I need it. So he made it famous. He's the official champagne of the British family. It was actually served at the royal wedding for William and Kate, I believe. So they had all these magnums shipped to them exclusively to pour at the wedding. So they were drinking well.
Yes, they
have a, they have a tough life. But
some
Paul
people
Roger,
just like to rub it in.
Paul Roger itself is a rich style of champagne. And then we have a Blanc de Blanc from Joseph and Rio, which is another traditional champagne from the Rams area. And then Blanc de Blanc, meaning white of whites, which is 100% Chardonnay, white skin crepe. High in acidity, great aperitif. Actually, if you enjoy a nice Blanc de Blanc at the beginning of your meal, that would actually open up your appetite. So any shellfish
like
or aperitifs or anything like that, it's a great way to have a nice toast at the beginning of any meal as well.
Great. All right. Well, which is the last one you're going to pour for us?
I think I'm going to open up Paul Roger just because I love it so much.
Okay. Nate Andrew is like, yes, that is definitely the
guy's
going to
leave
go.
Here with a recyclable because... All right. Well, while you're doing that, I just want to thank everybody. This was a great show.
It was a
Nikki, you
show.
Put together a great show.
Thank you.
You know, go to Rare Treats when it opens on the 15th down at City Center.
We didn't really get to talk about gifts from Rare Treats, but I have a feeling
you know
there's
what?
Lots of
I
them.
Just
yes?
ate all the gifts from Rare Treats.
Okay, good.
check out Red Butchery, Red Apron Butchery. Nate Andes made, I mean, the food is just unbelievable there. Go to Via Umbria. Check out the pet resort in the Old Town Pet Resort in Springfield and Dulles. And Alex, do you ever do any teaching around town?
Yeah, I mean, we work. Southern works with restaurants, hotels, embassies, and all sort of anybody who has a liquor license. So I'd be stopping by.
You
Villa
have a website
Umbria
people
soon.
Can check.
Yeah, southernwine.com. We're around town, so if you go online and you click on the. On the icon that says distributors in different areas around the world. Right now, we're in 38 different states around the country.
Okay. I have to stop because the show's going to end.
That's fine.
But that's good. Go to their website.
You can go online and you'll find us, definitely.
All right. Okay. And everything you guys heard about today on the show and more, you'll find on the list, areyouonit.com, Nikki's website. Follow her on Twitter. Follow her on WTOP every Sunday at 12:50 and Thursdays.
12:40.
Every other... What?
12:40.
Now it's 12:40? I don't know. And every other Thursday at 12:10?